Well, Christmas Eve is a very special night of the year. While we know it's not the actual night that Jesus was born, it's the time that some well-intentioned folks decided to piggyback on already festive times to celebrate the God of the universe entering into our world. So, once a year, those who are so inclined sneak in and out of churches or take in a musical presentation to hear that story told once again. And it's a story that never gets old. And one reason is that the same way Christ's entrance into the world through his birth was something that people longed for back then, we probably also sense that need for things in our world to change, for things in our own lives to be made right. It's interesting, I think, that Oxford Dictionary's word of the year this year is toxic, and that Webster's word of the year is justice. And it's not hard to see why insults and derogatory remarks are a dime a dozen these days. Everyone is lashing out, accusing everyone else of lying or being fake news or racist or even worse, progressives, if you can imagine. The recently departed Stan Lee said that bigotry and racism are among the deadliest social ills plaguing our world today. But unlike a team of costumed supervillains, they can't be halted with a punch in the snoot or a zap from a ray gun. There are real problems in our world, real problems that aren't going away anytime soon. And yet the world knows that it's really looking for and waiting for something they just can't put their finger on, but it's something better. There's a story about an old Jewish man who would get up at the break of dawn and go to the Western Wall in Jerusalem, also called the Wailing Wall, and he would pray fervently from morning to evening. And one day, a journalist from the London Times, who observed him do this day after day, asked him, so it's like, you come here every day to this wall. How long have you done this, and what are you praying for? The old man replied, I've come here to pray every day for the past 25 years. And I pray for peace and reconciliation among the people of this land who are so divided by hate and by conflict. The journalist was amazed, and she asked him, how does it make you feel to come here every day for 25 years and pray for these things when so much conflict remains? The old man looked at her and said, it feels like I'm talking to a wall. Every year around this time, we hear scripture passages and we sing our favorite Christmas carols about peace on earth and goodwill to men. We light candles and we sing songs like Silent Night. All is calm, all is bright. And it's beautiful, and it's even nostalgic for some people. It gives you kind of the goosebumps, you know? But does it really make any difference? Because tonight there are many people for whom life is not very calm, is not very bright. The world is not the way it's supposed to be, and you didn't need me to tell you that, right? You already know as much. Our lives are not the way they're supposed to be. But through what we celebrate tonight, we see that God has something else in mind. Through Advent, we keep reminding ourselves and everyone who will listen that God chooses to instill in us the precious gifts of peace, hope, joy, and love. These things that we crave. And tonight we've lit the Christ candle, signifying that our hopes and dreams are really met in the person of Christ. That's why the narrative of the Nativity and the stories and characters that surround it are so important. The people living during that time felt the oppression of the empire on them. There were reminders of it everywhere. They were weary of being treated as inferior. Most people lived in poverty, while royalty lived it up. Times were not good and tensions were very high. But days after Jesus was born, Mary and Joseph, being the dutiful and religious parents they were, brought Jesus to the temple to be consecrated by God. Every Jewish person did this. And there was a man there named Simeon. And he was one of those lifelong faithful people who really trusted God, but who had also experienced the angst and the constant disappointment and the disheartenment that happened in his people for many years. And we read that he was waiting for the consolation of Israel. Waiting. For the consolation of Israel. And when old man Simeon saw Jesus, there in his parents' arms in that moment, it's like all of his anxieties were just put to rest. Because Simeon had been told by God in some special way, I don't know how it happened, that he would not die until he saw the Messiah. And this was it. He didn't overanalyze the situation. It says he took the baby from his parents. He wanted to hold the hope of the world in his arms. And as he did, he said these words, Sovereign Lord, now let your servant die in peace, as you have promised. I have seen your salvation, which you have prepared for all people. He is a light to reveal God to the nations, and he is the glory of your people, Israel. You know, we probably remember when our kids were born, we had all these amazing wishes and dreams for them. Would they become doctors? Would they become artists? Would they excel in some sort of humanitarian work? Would they be the kind of citizens that would really make a difference in this world? And all the people in nursing say, yes, that's who we are. Mary and Joseph had an idea that their baby would be special. They had heard it from the angel, but that was already a while ago. And they were already in the throes of, you know, that first week of sleepless nights and the baby throwing up and all that kind of stuff. They were kind of tired. Things on the excitement front may have died down just a little bit. So on that day, they were probably quite overwhelmed as Simeon, this devout and righteous man, speaks these affirming words over their child. And it's like, God, I've waited so long. Your people have waited so long. We've been through so much, but now the waiting is over. Everything we need, I'm holding in my arms right now. And he mentioned some specific things in his prayer. He spoke about Jesus being God's salvation. No mention was made of Jesus being a military hero or that he would lead some political revolution. The salvation Simeon was talking about was one that would have more impact than any of those things ever could. Because as we know, military and political victories have a shelf life. Empires come and empires go. The salvation people needed was one that could penetrate every single human soul. One in which a person, in fact, an entire community, could look at whatever circumstance they found themselves in and still live with hope and joy and peace and love where it counted most. But how could this come about? Well, one key factor was that Jesus would also be the light that would reveal God. You know, Simeon was well-versed in scriptures. He had probably heard every sermon there was to hear in the temple. And if he was anything like my grandfather, I remember him dearly, he would probably have been the kind of person to sit down with others and to discuss all of his wealth and knowledge and share what was going on inside of his life and his heart and his experience. But Simeon knew that the scriptures could only reveal so much about God to the world. He knew people who knew the Torah backwards and forwards who were more miserable than anybody else. He knew that for some, their religion was just like talking to a wall. And no one expected very much more. It was just something they did. Now, folks, we are personal beings. And while the scriptures are inspired and beautiful and necessary for our understanding of God, and they should be read and understood and lived, they only go so far. But the person of Jesus, the person of Jesus, would reveal God in ways words could never reveal and in ways people would never imagine. And it was going to make some people very uncomfortable. The Word made flesh would take things beyond the written page and would all of a sudden walk and talk amongst them and demonstrate the heart of God in real and tangible ways. And this brought great joy to many, and sadly, it threatened a lot of other people. But now God was going to be seen in a way God had never been seen before, and not just by the Jews, but now by all people. And then finally, he calls Jesus the glory of God's people, Israel. Up until that time, The Jews bemoaned having lost their land, having lost their national identity. They longed for the glory days of Moses and David, and they looked back on all their military accomplishments, the splendor of Solomon's temple, and all that kind of stuff. Those were their good old days, when they were a force to be reckoned with in the world, when they felt like they mattered. But Simeon revealed something that they never really understood. It wasn't land or nationhood or a great temple that gave Israel its identity and purpose. God chose and shaped and came alongside Israel so that they could be a light to the world, to show the world what having a relationship with God was really all about and what it could look like. But they turned it into something else. They turned it into a religion. And it's true. People would come from miles to visit their royalty. They would come to see the great temple, to witness this strange and meaningful religious observance that they had. And it was really quite the spectacle. But the best that all of that could provide would never be the real glory of Israel. Because only God, only Christ, could fulfill that role. That's why Simeon says, with great relief, I can close my eyes in death, and I can know that all will be well. That although it may not be right now, although there will be struggle, and people will, because of their natures, which they cannot help, they will try to resist the way of peace. But God, through this child, God, you will make it happen. And that's what the prophet Isaiah wrote about. Unto us a child is born. And ultimately the world will be made right through him. There will be peace. There will be the kind of government that people will kind of breathe a sigh of relief to. Because everywhere you look, there is political and governmental stress and dissent. I mean, have we ever witnessed such chaos as we have in these past few years? In Ontario and the country as a whole, in the U.S., in Britain, and just keep going. We have an incredible refugee problem in the world. Countries are shutting their doors because they just can't take in anymore. And people are still fleeing places of danger, and countries are afraid of the potential incoming threats. And some are starting to politicize the problem, making it even worse. And what about powerful and controversial issues like gender confusion and sexual identity? It's like society just doesn't know what to do with people who are different. But they are real people, and some of them are living in deep despair over our misunderstanding and our mistreatment of them. So maybe we could learn from the one who had no place to lay his head, the one who welcomed the outcast, and extended even his immediate family to all those who were interested in doing and discovering the will of God. But like Simeon said, no one said it would be easy. Simeon was given these glimpses of what the Messiah's life would look like. And that prompted him to look at Mary with compassion. And kind of just give her the heads up. To prepare her for the hurt that she would never imagine she would ever have to go through. Simeon saw that the way of Jesus wouldn't sit well with everyone, and that it would eventually pierce her soul. You know, I don't know fully how God is going to restore the world, but I have an idea that it's going to involve people who can see Jesus the way Simeon saw Jesus. That Jesus brings salvation. That Jesus sheds the purest light on God possible. And that the glory that we really seek will never and can never come about by our own doing. So this doesn't mean that we just get better at religion. Religion might work for a while, but imposing religion on a culture never really lasts. Even religion has a shelf life. It's about people who understand the heart of a loving God, a giving God. A God that comes near to us to strip away our selfishness and our unhelpful desires, our greed and our propensity to hurt one another. And it's not because people of faith always get it right, because we certainly don't. It's because people who have faith in Jesus understand that the answer to the human problem is not in ourselves. Our best will always be short-lived. But there is someone who does bring true salvation, someone who brings hope and justice and peace and demonstrated it, someone who chose us the true heart and love of God, someone in whom we find our purpose and our glory. And we are simply asked to put our faith and our trust in him and let him work through us. And if we take Simeon's lead on this, we'll believe that God will eventually make it happen. Now, we don't have the privilege and the opportunity of holding the Christ child in our arms. That would be nice. I mean, who doesn't love holding a newborn baby? But while we can't hold him in our arms, Christ has promised to take up residence in our hearts. We are a broken society, and there's nothing anyone can impose on us that will make it otherwise. Will political corruptness cease tomorrow morning because we sang a few carols? Will abuse on children and spouses and seniors be a thing of the past because we lit a Christ candle? Will poverty be a thing of the past because we heard a Christmas sermon? The answer, of course, is no. But what if the message of Christmas were to penetrate every human heart as intended? What if people were to embrace the Son of God as Simeon did and see the hope of the world and the gift of God to us? That we're not called to make everything better on our own. That God came to be with us and to help us in the struggle and confusion and the desperation. You know, it's Christmas Eve, and most people go to church hoping to receive something that's just a little out of the ordinary. Because if you think about it, what happened on that night Christ was born was quite out of the ordinary. But what if Christmas is really about taking what seems out of the ordinary and reintroducing it to us to make it part of our everyday life? What difference would it make if people actually believed that God wanted to be with them every moment of every day? That's what the coming of Christ means. God is with you, not just tonight, but always. Jesus is called Emmanuel, and that should be the refrain of every single day of our life. Because the story of Christmas isn't one to be left in the nativity scene. That's just the beginning. That was the sign that God had engaged the world in a very personal and a very vulnerable way. And because of that, that gives us permission to also live with some vulnerability, without fear, without embarrassment. And I know there are many things that are happening in our world that are making people a little leery of embracing or even examining this whole thing about Jesus. You might be someone who's been jaded by religion. I think you'd find good company in Jesus. You might have been hurt by religion or by religious people. And again, if you talk to Jesus, he'd say, been there, done that. Tonight, can I encourage you to talk to Jesus and maybe just say something like, Jesus, I need you to live up to your name, Emmanuel. I need you to be with me. I'm tired of trying to save myself. I'm tired of seeing God through other people's lenses. I need you to shine your light on God for me. And God will answer that prayer. You know, I doubt that Simeon was within earshot when the shepherds heard the angel sing. But he knew that the one that he held in his arms was good news that would bring great joy to all people. And that through him, men and women could experience peace and goodwill. Because that's always been what's been on God's heart. God created the man and the woman and put them in this perfect garden. And he looked at all that stuff and said, this is very good. And after the man and woman messed up, Operation Salvation went into effect. Because God wasn't content to leave us in that condition. And knowing that we could never save ourselves, God came in person to do it for us. And that's really great news. And while it's true what people say, that Jesus is the reason for the season, what this story tells me that's even more true is that we are the reason for the season. Jesus came to bring us life. In him was light, and that light was the life of men and women, people like you and me. To us, a child is born. He is our salvation. He is the one who sheds the best light on God for us, and he is the one that sheds the best light on us. Tonight, my prayer for each person here, and by extension, all those that you hold dear, is that you would truly feel loved, that you would truly feel and sense this extraordinary peace inside you, that you would burst with joy, and that hope has been rekindled in you because Emmanuel, God is with us, is here. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we are so grateful for you coming to earth in person and doing what we could never do on our own, trying to save ourselves like we could ever try. We could never accomplish that. And we look at the world around us, and instead of just throwing our hands up, we extend our hands and our arms to embrace the Christ child and to look upon that child and see the salvation of God, to see and understand the face and the intent of God, and to find our purpose. And what a gift that would be to so many people this Christmas. Thank you, God, for being that kind of God to us. And for those who have prayed the prayer that they need Emmanuel to be with them, I pray, oh God, that you would honor that prayer. In Christ's name, amen.